the reason why they are aggressively increasing the tapering and why they're going to increase rates is to cool down the economy, cool down the purchasing, give some breathing room for the supply chain, and hopefully do as you increase rates, it obviously costs more to borrow.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back, everyone. On today's Finance Friday episode, guess what? We're talking finance. But before I get into that, just a quick reminder, how this show grows is from you all sharing it with those family, friends, with those that you think could get a little value out of it. Assuming you got some value out of this episode, it would mean a lot if you could share it with someone that you think could also get value out of it, as well as leaving a rating and review. That's how Apple Podcasts and some of these other providers and streaming services, their algorithm is heavily based on ratings and reviews. So if you wouldn't mind taking a little time out of your day to leave a rating or review, I would appreciate that very much. All right, so let's just jump right into it. So today, we're talking about the Fed's latest comments and specifically what Jerome Powell said in the latest Fed meeting regarding interest rates. Because I know, as we all know, that affects a lot what you do in life when it comes from anything from buying a house, buying a car, investing, where rates are at will affect a lot. So let's just jump right into it and kind of get into what he said. So first, the Fed tapering. And for those that aren't familiar with that, back in March 2020, when this whole health crisis first started, in order to kind of help the economy, help the market, the Fed started buying bonds. And this was a wide variety of different types of bonds in the market. So they wanted to prop up the economy by infusing it with capital, buying bonds to, one, like I said, infuse it with capital, but also to increase consumer sentiment. And back in November, they said they were going to start tapering the bond buying. And they said they were going to be doing that by $15 billion a month. So $15 billion less, they would be purchasing bonds per month. And in this meeting, they said they were going to double that to $30 billion per month in less acquisitions of bonds, purchase of bonds they would be doing per month, with the goal to completely stop tapering and completely stop buying bonds by March. And then the next comments were about rates. And Powell said he would not be raising any rates until the tapering is done. So if they are able to completely finish the tapering and no longer buy bonds by March, around that time is when we would see our first rate hike. So currently, the way it works is the Fed funds, they have an average they target. And then based off of that, the banks, us consumers go to then what they charge based on that Fed funds rate, because the Fed funds rate is what they can borrow from. So like any business, you got to charge more than what your cost of goods. And in this case, their cost of goods is what they can borrow money off of. So they have to mark it up and charge a premium. So right now, as we all know, interest rates are at pretty much all-time lows or hovering around that. You can buy a house for sub 3%. Some people even getting closer to that 2% or less. And that's because the Fed funds rate right now has a target of 0 to 0.25%. And it's been at zero for a little while now. But assuming the Fed can end tapering by March, they will immediately start raising rates. And Jerome Powell said that they expect to raise rates at least three times. And if you're familiar with these Fed meetings, which I wouldn't be surprised if you're not, there's this chart that always comes out and it's a rectangle. And within the chart, you got on the y-axis there, you've got the range of interest rates, right? And so anywhere from 0 to 3%, depending where we're at. And there'll be a benchmark, which is the current target. So that's at 0 to 0.25%, so 0%. And then within this chart, you'll have different, these little squares that plot on the chart. And those are simply the different Fed chairwomen, and that's their votes. And so they vote where they think the interest rate will be the end of a given period. So at the end of a given year. So if we look at the end of 2022, the majority of the votes are at 0.9%. So that would be an increase of 0.9% because we're at that target of 0% interest rate. So that means if they were to raise the rates three times like they're projecting to do, like Chairman Powell said, that means they would increase the rate, Fed funds rate, 0.3% three times to get to that 0.9%. And they also usually forecast out a couple of years. So they voted also at the end of 2023, what would the interest rates look like at that time period? And their voting was more spread out on this. At the end of 2022, majority of the people were at that 0.9%. There were some that were a little over the 1%, and then that some that were actually below 0.7%. But in 2023, it's more scattered. You see people that are voting that they think it'll be over 2%, right at that 1.9 range, and then some all the way down to just above 1% and just below like 1.4%. So the average of that, it'll probably be somewhere around 1.5 to 1.6, 1.7 for end of 2023 is what they project. Now you got to take this all with a grain of salt because things can change. Look what's happened over the past 2 years. They thought they were going to start bringing rates up a long time ago and they actually brought them down. Supply chain issues have resulted them in probably buying bonds longer than they wanted to. They probably would have wanted to start tapering earlier. Now they're really started tapering because of this whole supply chain issue. So that just brings me to the point of why are they raising interest rates, right? We're in a global pandemic, massive supply chain issues. And the reason for that is because of what those two things have caused, which is very high inflation. And personally, I think it's being vastly underreported. One, due to their kind of the archaic system that is used to calculate and report CPI and PPI. And other reasons, because I don't think we've actually seen the true effects of really underlying what's going on. But let's talk about CPI. So we know that's consumer price index. That's essentially cost of goods. What does it cost for us to go buy common things at the store? And last time I spoke about this, I want to say it was in September. It was about 5% CPI over the last 12 months. Now we're currently at 7%. And if you recall, I also brought up a key statistics, a leading indicator, which is PPI, Producer Price Index. Simply, it's what it costs for manufacturers and producers to produce that good. And back then I said it was at 8% in September. And I said it's a leading indicator because as it costs more for manufacturers and producers to produce a good, they're going to pass on that cost. It only makes sense, right? Otherwise, they'd go out of business. And so we're pretty much almost lock in step there, right? It was at 8% in September. Now CPI is at 7%. But currently, PPI was just reported in November and it's at 9.6%. 9.6%. So that means the current CPI at 6% has more room to increase. And that CPI at 7% right now, the highest it's been since 1982. That's big, 1982. And that's back when they had hyperinflation. We're seeing stuff, interest rates at 18% to combat the massive inflation. And so to see that we're at the highest inflation since then, that's something we really need to take note of. And where is this going? And what does this mean? I wish I had a crystal ball to tell you, but the reason why they are aggressively increasing the tapering and why they're going to increase rates is to cool down the economy. Cool down the purchasing, kind of give some breathing room for the supply chain. And hopefully what this will do as you increase rates, it obviously costs more to borrow, right? So hopefully that slows down people from buying stuff, cars and homes and anything where you're going to take out leverage, right? Where you're going to take out debt and a loan against that said piece of good. And they're hoping that this will cool it down so then inflation can kind of draw back a little bit. This is usually their biggest tool to combat inflation, is to increase rates. Like I mentioned about the 80s, that's what they did in the 80s. You were seeing rates on stuff at 18, 19%. That'll scare anyone from maybe purchasing a house, investment property, a car, a business. So that's how they kind of use these tools, is they increase interest rates to combat inflation, but they don't want to do that before they stop the tapering, buying the bonds. And Now, is this really going to happen? Who knows? Stuff could change. In 2 months, this whole supply chain issue could be worse. Maybe it kind of corrects itself. Maybe the whole health crisis changes. There's a lot of stuff up in the air, a lot of moving parts that could change this. But this is the first time since this health crisis that we've actually seen a consensus from the Fed chairs that they all expect rates to increase by the end of 2022. So I think there will be a rate increase, whether it's three times up to just shy of 1% Fed funds rate, that I don't know. But I think rates will increase by the end of 2022. And now, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for investors? Well, the stock market, if you invest in the stock market, it didn't really react too strong because it was already kind of priced into the markets. People thought that this was going to be the consensus from the Fed. So there was no surprise. So the market itself didn't really move. Now, in the future, it could, because if this really does affect consumer confidence and people out there buying products and goods, then the market could retreat a little. When it comes to real estate, I do think it'll cool it off a little bit, not a great amount, because we're not talking about 200 basis points, 2 to 3% increase. We're not talking about that. We're talking about less than 1% increase. And it's not always completely correlated. What I mean by that is if the Fed funds rate goes up 0.9%, it doesn't mean that the rate in which consumer will borrow at is 0.9%. It could be less, it could be more. So that time will tell on that. But I don't think it's drastically going to change the real estate market. Say it does increase by, let's just use a round number, 1%. So people are getting residential at 3%. That would be up to 4%. In the big commercial multifamily space, which I play in, you're getting anywhere from 3.5% to 4% right now. So that would go anywhere from 4.5% to 5%, which I don't think it would get to that. That seems a little extreme to me. But even if it did, that's not life-changing. Yes, prices will have to retreat a little. People won't be able to pay as much at that type of interest rate, but that's not crippling. Those are the rates we saw pre-pandemic. We were at that 4 to 4.5% range interest rate pre-pandemic, even 5% in some cases. So this isn't market crippling. Yeah, it might retreat some, but at the same time, it's like what I've been talking about over the past few months is income producing assets, cash flowing assets like real estate are one of the best hedges, if not the best hedge against inflation. So even though interest rates are going to be ticking up, it's not going to subdue inflation right out of the gate, right? So this is still a great place to be to combat inflation. And one of bigger aspects of inflation right now, or driving inflation, is rent growth. So that's a great thing for those who own rental real estate, because it's helping you combat that inflation. Where there'll be an inflection point where we saw markets where they're getting 17, 19, 20% rent growth. That's just insane. I don't see that continuing. I still think it'll be a healthy rent growth, probably above the average of 3%. It'll be above 3%, I feel, across the board, but not to that. So it's still a great place to be. Again, I don't see the increase in rates where the Fed fund sees it at 0.9% being anything drastic for the real estate market. Yeah, it'll cool things off a little. I think it'll actually be a good thing. People might not be buying things as crazy, but then you never know, because you never know who you're going against. And this is an important thing I think a lot of investors need to know, is when you go put an offer, say, on a property, maybe you get blown out of the water by someone else who placed an offer and you're just like, how are they making this work? Well, there's a lot of factors into that. One, you don't know their investment objective. Maybe yours is a five-year hold. Maybe theirs is just a flip. Maybe they're just going to fuse a bunch of capital, improve the property and flip it. Maybe it's 10, 15-year hold. They don't care if they're not making money out of the first couple of years, because over time, they're going to get that, whatever their benchmark average annual return IRR is. They're going to hit that because they have a longer runway. Maybe they're buying on scale, so they don't need as high a return as you do. When I say you, someone like myself, who doesn't own billions of dollars of real estate, when we're raising money from private investors, we need a competitive return, right? Whereas these bigger players, they have that diversification, they have that scale where they don't, one, as high a return, and two, based on their scale, they can use different debt structure, capital structure. They can use some floating rate stuff that provides lower rate. Yes, it's a little more risky because after a period it floats, but they have so much scale that they're insulated from that. So they can get really competitive rates and kind of, and they're able to blow your offer out of the water because of that. So that's something you just need to always be cognizant of, that you just never know why someone's buying that asset. It's most likely going to be different than why you're buying it, and also just what's backing them. You just never know their capital structure. So that's important to know. At the end of the day, I think this is a good thing. Obviously, do I want rates to stay low so I can get really cheap long-term debt? Of course I do. That's the dream as a real estate investor. But it's created this really interesting market where prices keep going up and up and up and up and up, to a point where we've got where cap rates are so compressed, there's an inflection point. And I think this is going to be the start of it. Like I said, I don't think there's going to be major changes, but I think there's going to be a slight cooling off. There's still going to be a lot of buying of real estate. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to try to buy as much as possible. But I think it'll make people think and kind of tweak their approach, because now this is the first time in a little while that we will have seen rates increase. Now, to what extent it's going to end up being at the year, that is yet to be seen. It could be 12 months from now, and maybe it only went up 0.3%, if that. So, but I do feel it will go up, whether it's that 0.9% that the Fed is targeting. I don't know, but it's definitely going to go up at some point. It has to. So yeah, I just wanted to get on here and give a quick update on that. You know, as always, if anyone has any questions, I'm most active on Instagram. My handle is at @ShawnOwins. That's S-H-A-W-N-O-W-I-N-S. So always reach out there. I love talking to everyone that reaches out. Recently, I've seen an uptick in that, and it's great to talk to fellow investors and like-minded people. I always enjoy that. So if you ever have any questions, please reach out. Love talking about finance, real estate, all the good stuff. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, and let's go buy some real estate. Y'all later.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review, and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.